God, we worship you. We give you all praise. Thank you for a new day. Father, we thank you for your word. As it comes to us, we pray that we receive with thanksgiving. Thank you for your power that is present to heal. Thank you because you have your way in our midst, Lord. We give you all praise. We give you all glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. For those of you, Happy New Year. If it's your first time in church this year, amen. All right. God's word comes to us, and when it does come, we should receive it with all meekness, with all joy, and with thanksgiving. And this morning, I've come to talk to you about maintaining your stability as you walk in this year. Maintaining your stability. Amen. You know, oftentimes, when we learn an act or a trade or a skill, we start from the basics. We just learn the basic things and we move on. And after a while, as we gradually use those basic things, we develop those basic skills the more. And we get more skilled with those things that we have learned. So, but it's not all the time that you learn by yourself. You learn from people around you. You learn by asking questions. You relate with people that are in that field, even to gain the more. Amen. And one thing that I know has worked is that if you are not ITK, you know ITK. If you are not ITK, you know, when you are asking questions, people will be willing to let you have the answers. Okay? So I have a colleague, when he asks you a question, I think he always feels like, always feels a bit funny when he's asking you a question for things that you ought to know. So when he asks you a question and you begin to answer, he begins to say, okay, yes, I know this, and I just put my shut up. But there's no point. If you know, then why are you talking to me? And then I'll laugh. Because I know that I know something that he doesn't know. You get what I'm saying? It's not pride. Because I know that I know something that he doesn't know. And most of the time, it happens that when issues happen, there are certain keys that are not released to you until you are old enough or matured enough to undo those things. Okay? So in the technical field, when things happen and we are resolving, and the equipment manufacturer does resolve some things, and I ask them, they tell me that this is not for you guys, but because you are asking, okay, they tell me, they release the secret. I say, okay. So, and then I do one thing, I don't just listen. I tell them, please, can you help me send it in a mail form? When they send it in a mail form, you know what I do? I carry the mail and I keep it. And I will, when I keep it, I label it the name of the problem that they use it to solve. So when the problem happens again, because I know that the way they resolved it was not revealed to anyone. And when someone is asking me, and I begin to tell them, because everything always starts from the basic. So they tell you that, look, we are doing from here, going from here. But when you get here, ordinarily, this is what you are meant to do. Then when you get there, they tell you, you know, consult the next level of support. And the next level of support has more knowledge than you have about that thing. So when it comes asking, and you say, I know, I just leave him. And then he gets stuck. Okay? And by the time he gets stuck, it becomes a big problem for everybody. And then I'll smile. I said, but you didn't listen. You didn't wait to the end. Now, one guy, he saw that. He said, why is it that every time we all get stuck. You always seem to know and understand. The guy is very sharp. So anytime I'm telling the guy anything that he knows, he say, okay, sir, yes, sir. I say, yes, sir, okay, sir, yes, sir, okay, sir, yes, sir. When the issue happens again, the guy will do everything up to the point that I have told him. He will send everything to me and say, look, everything you have told me, I've done up to this point. At this point, I think you should take over. And then, no, come online, let you do it. Let's do it together. And with time, he built his confidence. And when he has spent so much time working with me, he practically can stand on his own. The people you surround yourself with will help you in maintaining your stability or losing it when it comes to the things of God. Amen. When it comes to the things of God, and you cannot separate the things of this life from the things of God. So don't say, hey, it's the things of God. Because everything that you see in the physical comes from the spiritual. Amen. Hallelujah. So when we talk about the things of God, just listen to the things of God. Forget about the fact that maybe you're a guitarist, you're a pianist, or like me, you're a technical person. Everything comes, all this technicality that we're talking about stems from God. Amen. So there was also this time I pride myself that I know how to drive very well, and that any time I drive, I'm very observant. I know the rudiments of this thing so much. And then one day I had an accident. And then I was suddenly speaking to, I think it was my mechanic I was speaking to. And I said, what happened to my brakes? Why did my brakes not do the magic? And the guy was, and then he began to tell me that, sir, when you are in that kind of situation, you don't slam your brake once. I never had it before. So you don't slam your brake once. He says, if you slam your brake once, the bike will keep skidding. You say you slam your brake once, lift it up as fast as you can, and slam it the second time, and the car will come to a grinding knot. That's if you don't have the 2025 model of Kazoo. I think it's my brother-in-law's car. If he sees a human being run across the road, the thing will stop on his own without you pressing the brake. So if we are using the regular cars that we are used to, okay, and I pray that you get used to the 2025, 2026 cars before they come. I thought you would say amen. God. You are sleeping. No, it's once. That's why they say the angel passes once. So one time somebody was teaching me about opportunity. He said when opportunity comes the first time, it stands before you. And then he's rapping with you. He's gisting with you. And he did take care of it. Then the next time he comes, he's going to stroll by. And then he expects you to catch his attention. And then he doesn't. The next time he's coming, he's going to run. He's jog. And then that means that you do more effort to get it. And then the next time, he's going to run. And God help you that he's as fast as Usain Bolt. You won't catch that opportunity. When you're in church, pay attention. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the other day, he was also driving, same person, he was driving, I can't remember the car he was driving. He was just going along the road. And then the car felt that there was a problem with the car. The car just shut down itself. Once he managed to brake, the father said, if I go further, there will be a problem. The car just shut down himself and told him there is a fault with the car. Amen. I graduated from a car that I used car for seatbelt, you know. That's the car I used to toast my wife with. So all of you that are looking for men that will buy you clothes or pay for dinner before you get married, you make a mistake. When I was dating my wife, my seatbelt is calf that I used to tie it. But the one she's using, it will click. But she didn't complain. Hallelujah. That's why today she can enter 2025 model even before it comes. Amen. It's only set one that is the spirit. I said, anytime I'm talking, be following me. If you like sleep, I won't say, when you go back and play it, as you say the amen, it comes. Hallelujah. But if you will have stability this year, because if you're talking about steadfastness, you have to be careful. The people that you surround yourself with. Hallelujah. And you know, interestingly, every time we take Bible study, and I'm the one that will minister, and said man takes Bible study, he practically will preach everything I'll preach. Amen. Because the people that you surround yourself with, like I said, they either help you positively or they help you negatively. But a lot of it also depends on what you glean from what you are getting from them. Amen. So some people come with a lot of negativity. If you do something, they come and say, what do you think you have done? This thing is this, this thing is that, this thing is that. And then you wallow so much in all the criticism that you forget that in the midst of all the things that that person is saying, there is some truth. Don't forget this. There is always some truth. And each time you are going to revolt or you are going to fight back, always restrain yourself. Because you miss an opportunity to get better. For the person that is criticizing you negatively, he probably wants to bring you down and make you deflated. Okay? But if you are wise, and I'm sure we are wise, you listen, and then you sift everything that the person has said and said, exactly what was he trying to tell me? Oh, I didn't do this thing the right way. And then you go. The next time you come, you are far better than that person. Because when he's coming, he's only going to come and tell you again, this thing you did, okay, you have gotten this one. It will help you again. Well, help yourself. Hallelujah. Don't wallow in negativity. And don't surround yourself with people that do not have any understanding of how to encourage you. Amen. Some people say that if you enter a room and you are the wisest person there, you should walk away. You are in the wrong room. I don't believe that. Because if so, then Christ wouldn't have sat with the tax collector. Abi? He was the wisest man in the room. He wouldn't have sat with the tax collector. And he wouldn't have had an impact on the tax collector if it was right for you to be in a room and say that you are the wisest person and walk away. If you think you are the wisest person in a room, then bring your wisdom to bear. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 27. And verse 17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Okay? Verse 18 says, whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit. So he who waits on his master will be honored. If you look at the Amplified Version, Proverbs 27:17, it says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend to show rage or worthy purpose. Whoever tends the fig shall eat its fruit. So he who patiently and faithfully guards and eats his master shall be honored. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 18 struck me. It says, whoever tends the fig tree shall eat its fruit. Amen. That means you have to be careful the tree that you are tending. Hallelujah. So remove the fig and say, whoever tends the tree shall eat its fruit. Amen. I think I've told you before a story of one of our keyboardists that would come to church, would play, and then during the week, he would be at the lounge, I said, what we call it. And then during the week, we'll be at the lounge and we'll play in the nightclub all night. And then he suddenly moved the things to the nightclub and was playing. And when the nightclub would repay him, okay, they packed all his belongings and carted away everything that he had. Okay, so the question would be, why would you play in church on a Sunday and then go to a nightclub and say, because you need a livelihood, you go there and play? We are always in the habit of deceiving ourselves when it comes to reality. On the 1st of January, we were seated and we were having a discussion about the outlook, what your outlook portrays, the way you look. Okay? So imagine if I come here and I suddenly make my hair like maybe Mrs. Ajeri's hairstyle. Okay? And I'm preaching. It will cause a problem for people that don't have that kind of faith to manage seeing their pastor with that kind of hairstyle. And then it became a problem when we were discussing and it became a problem. And Timilola was seated on the table. In fact, it was because of these young children that we were discussing. So he was seated on the table. And we started going back and forth, and this lady was talking, I was talking back. And then at the point, she just made a statement. And Timilola looked and said, this woman is just not getting it. She's just making statement that she's not supposed to make. And I was impressed. You know, one of his experiences, one day he was going at Okwebi roundabout, and a police officer stopped my car. I wasn't the one driving. He stopped my driver and him. They were going somewhere. And then he stopped them. And the police officer was going to check the car. And then the police officer looked at him and said, what are you doing in the car with this guy? Because my driver had this Flex used to have. You know that kind of that type Flex used to have. Let me tell you a story about Flex hairstyle. One day I was at the show. And he has changed it now, don't worry. So that's why I can talk about it. When he had it, I couldn't talk about it. So I can talk about it now. One day I was coming from airport, I was at Oshodi, early in the morning, around 7 o'clock. And then I slowed down, and one guy came and knocked the door. And the guy was really, he just hit the window and was like, give me your ring, blah, 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 blah. And this guy was sleeping at the back of the car. So I screamed, and then the guy ran away, and this guy woke up. And then she said, he said, Daddy, is that Uncle Flex? I said, how on earth will you think that Uncle Flex will come to the window? But that was the appearance of the guy. Do you understand? So when you are doing fashion, be careful. Okay, so when the police officer now stopped the two of them, and I told my son, I said, be careful about this. This guy looks like a bad guy. So you shouldn't allow him to be driving you and being alone with you. Now, it's not totally correct that everybody that has that hairstyle is like, but it says a lot about what people, it says God looks on the inside, but we look on the outside. And we have attached so many things to all these things that are becoming norm, that is becoming a problem. So yesterday afternoon, when those boys came in, when we were eating, I just got uncomfortable because they just looked so horrible, and I was eating. So when he said, let's go, he said, I didn't waste time. Let's go, because already I was feeling uncomfortable. Amen. Hallelujah. If you are a believer, a child of God, then the best place for you to be is in the midst of God's people at all time. Psalm 1. The blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Hallelujah. See, he didn't say that the man that walks, you know, the walk here is W-A-L-K. He didn't say that the man that walks with the ungodly. If you look at the Bible carefully, he says the man that walks in the counsel of the ungodly. Because tomorrow some people say, we should not walk with people that are ungodly. So when, like Jesus went to the tax collectors, he said, no. The Bible is very, very deliberate. And it's very deliberate about the words that he uses. Because when the ungodly people gives you counsel, you are not meant to walk with that counsel. Hallelujah. I mean, we are not of the world, but we are in the world. So we meet with a lot of ungodly people. Hallelujah. We cannot isolate ourselves. Abi, if you decide to isolate yourself, we will miss out of many things. I think it was Isaac that went with his wife and told Abimelech that this is my sister. But you know, when Abimelech will send them away, what happened? He packed a lot of riches, treasures. So sometimes you go to in their midst and you pack the treasures and you're fine. Hallelujah. Amen. But you cannot walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The Bible in Proverbs 27:17 says that iron sharpens iron. Okay? And in the Amplified Version, he puts it there. It says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend to show rage or worthy purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. That means that it's two-dimensional. And be careful, it's two-dimensional. And everybody that is a child of God has a good conscience. And we know when we are drifting. Amen. We know when we are drifting. Do you have a witness? So, on that first, when we are arguing about what your appearance causes for you and how it causes a lot of problems, every morning when I'm going to drop them in school, I see police officers, they just stop cars randomly. And when we look at the people that they stop randomly, they all have the same outlook. Okay? So it's either their jeans, why you should just wear knicker? It's either their jeans is torn, you be torn like this. You understand? Those people that cut jeans, you cut here and here, it's open. You cut here and here, it's open. Kukuma wear knicker. Abi? I'm laughing. No, she doesn't design that kind of thing now. Do you design that kind of thing? I've been to her shop now. They are very, very cute, exquisite designs. Hallelujah. So when you look at everyone, and I keep showing them every morning, I say, you see why you cannot afford to get carried away with all these things that we see. That's even for things that are dressing, that are physical. And when it comes to habits, they are the same thing. I can't tell you many of the habits because I really don't know many of the habits. God took me away from the mist before it was too dangerous. Hallelujah. Amen. I really don't know many of those habits. But we see them in films and we see a lot of things around. But as a believer, the counsel has to come from the word of God. So when somebody begins to counsel you and begins to tell you, admonish you and speak to you, then you need to take a look and be like, okay, how does this tally with the word of God? You are busy in your closet. You are trying to be steadfast with God. But at the same time, you must begin to prune your circles of influence. The people that influence you most especially. And then begin to build a better circle of influence that will guide you along the steadfast walk that you intend to walk with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Every year has different seasons. I think we are taught whether four seasons or those seasons don't apply to us, but for us, there are two seasons. But in school, when we're in school, there are different categories of things that we need at per time. So the people that you will see me mingle with at this period of time are the people that are essential for that phase that we are in. Hallelujah. So when I was in secondary school, we had three categories. But you see, there was a category of boys that were just, how do you call them? They're just on the other side. You know, there's this side. It's that one's picture that came to my side, to my to my eyes, and I'll tell you this picture. So when we were in school, I was not relating with that man. Okay, but I would see him. And every time I see him from afar, he looked very studious. He had a briefcase. In secondary school, he had a briefcase. I think it was brown or wine, something like that. And then it is our school, you know, our school uniform. That man bought in the last one. This last one. Eh? He bought in it. And then that's how, and throughout the day, that's how he is. And then he will carry the briefcase and be going. I see this guy. Why is this person always like this? So that's one set of people. They're very studious. Then there's another set. We're the ones that are bouncing. The happening guys. You know, they were on the other side. Now, when it comes to play activity, that's my own category. I don't know the other category. But the people that will teach me how to run, how to play, were on that side. And they are the ones that will smoke. They are the ones that will shift babes. You know, but when those activity comes, they are the ones that have it. These ones that are studios, they cannot teach me what I need. So when it's time for that activity, I go to them. And I know my limit. I go to them. And then we talk, we do all the practice we need to do, and I leave. When the chips are down, if I need their help, I will call on them, guy, come, I need help. So I will. When we used to go and run for school, they are the ones that will carry clubs and everything and follow us. I can't fight, but I need them when we need to fight. When we need to study, the ones that are very studious. In fact, that one guy doesn't smile, and I don't even know where he is today. He doesn't smile, just keeps walking. If you ask him one question, he just barely answer you. So, what is this book? This book. We will finish this book. When you call him in class, he's writing. When it's break time, you can't see his face. And I keep wondering. I felt so like an unserious student. But I was in the middle. I didn't have any problem being in the middle. But I'm saying that each time I needed help, I know to sift my help, where to go, and where not to go. Amen. Hallelujah. And if we have to play, everybody must come to me. You have to play. You must come to me to play. Amen. Because that's my specialty. It's time to play. It's time to play ball. I say, okay, let's go. We'll play ball. And up to now, it's a problem for them in my office. On Friday, I was not available in the office. And then my guy called me. He said, I'm coming to the island. He said, this is 3 o'clock. What are you coming to the island for? I said, okay, there's football match at 4. I said, it's like your work is not enough. I said, are you going to watch football match? I said, no, I'm going to play football. He said, are you coming all the way from the mainland? I said, you don't understand how it works. He said, that means your workload is not enough. That's why you're going to play ball. I said, okay, if you pile the workload like this, I will reduce it and I'll still go and play ball. Because I found a way around it. If you give me work, I'll find somebody to do the work. Somebody that wants to learn. I'll tell the guys, do this. If you have a problem, call me, send me text. I'm going. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm saying that I find the balance. And in your work with God, you must find it, because you must interact with people. Hallelujah. You must interact with people. Everybody will not be like you. And don't ever think that you're better than anybody. That's the truth of the matter. Because everybody is in his space. Amen. Everybody is in his space. No one is better than the other. Because everything we receive from God. So if Bayo receives from God and I receive from God, am I better than him? Because our source is the same. Hallelujah. How we deal with what God has given to us is what makes the difference. Amen. You know, they tell us that not all people that give birth are mothers. Abi? Am I right? Sasaji is looking confused. Yeah, not all of them, because there are certain characteristics of mothers that you expect. And so it's not everybody that does give birth that gives out that kind of nurture to a child. Time is going. Let me go back to my notes. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read from verse 24, NKJV. It says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exalting one another, and so much more the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Let us, okay, consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Stir up love and good works. So if you are in the midst of people that these two is absent, that's when you can say you are in the wrong room. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you continually, on a continual basis, interact with those people, those are signs of danger. If anybody will not stir up love with you, and then will not spoil you onto good works, that's not a company that you should keep. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not everybody that is your friend. Maybe you don't know, because sometimes this English language is a problem. You know, sometimes we say, he's my friend. Meanwhile, he's just an acquaintance. Abby? I can call Kenny my friend. Right? But I can't call that woman selling something under the tree, my friend. I can call her an acquaintance. She'll see me, she'll be happy, she'll greet me. But it can't be a friend. The friend is someone that is close and you hold there. The Bible tells us that the friend that sticks closer than your brother. That means that there's a level of closeness that friends have. Are you getting me? So when you are defining friends, be careful. The people that have a direct impact on your life, and you can hold them accountable for on different occasions, are people that you can point to as your friend. They have impact on your life. But then it's not always about people having impact on your life. You also should have impact on people's life. And nobody can give what he doesn't have. Hallelujah. Amen. Proverbs 11, verse 14. And I want to tie this to Psalm 1, verse 1. It says here, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Hallelujah. These counselors are not people that are ungodly. Hallelujah. Because if in the multitude of counselors there's safety, it cannot be with counselors that are ungodly. Are you getting what I'm saying? So because people, the Bible says the multitude of counsel, there's safety. And then they go to people, different people that have, there's no basic standard for everybody they ask for counsel from. Do you get what I'm saying? So you go and ask for counsel for somebody that is all the day in a lounge, early in the morning is sleeping, and then you begin to mix all those things and say there's safety. There can't be safety. Because you cannot walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. If you walk with godly counsel, then your own character is protected. Hallelujah. You know, they say that, my people say that, a finiwa, I don't know how to say it in English, but the way you behave is like a smoke, or it's like smoke. You can't cover it. Once there's smoke, the thing will filter in. You filter, there's no way. Because as long as the source of that smoke is still there, it will be rising, and then because it's gas, you filter. So you cannot cover it. So even when you are in the midst of people that have their mindset of God, and you are not doing the same thing that they are doing, with time they will help you. Because they will see it, that there is a filtration that is coming out that is not good. Hallelujah. You know, there's a difference between fragrance and odor. Hallelujah. Maybe Kenny will come and define odor for us. There's a difference. The ones that are of godly counsel, they always bring out fragrance. And the ones that are not of a godly counsel, or the ones that are ungodly counsel, they will always come out with odor. Odors are unpleasant. And counsels of fragrance are very pleasant and pleasing. So what is on the inside? When Christ was talking, he says it's not what goes in that defiles a man, but what comes out. Hallelujah. Your company matters. 1 Corinthians 5:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. It didn't say bad character corrupts good character. It says bad company corrupts good character. That means when you begin to mingle with bad company, it's going to corrupt your good character. Don't say I'm very strong. And that's why Satan was saying in the morning that you cannot say that you are evangelizing, and every time you are evangelizing, you are going to a brothel to evangelize. I say you are strong. Allah. Amen. And then when you surround yourself with godly counsel, then you remain strong and you remain sharp in God. Let me just leave these ones with you. Proverbs 13:20. It says, evil works with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. You know, these days, we are very careful. I say the words you are speaking, they are hurting. You don't have to speak them. But if you see a fool, tell yourself that this person is a fool. You don't have to say, tell the person he's a fool. Eh? But you tell yourself that this person is a fool so that you can move away. So you don't hurt the person. But when you are moving away, you also try as much as possible to leave the person with some words of admonition. You know, where I work, there are different kinds of people. People have different understanding of how life should work. And each time because that's the only place I go every day, I go to work and come back. I go to work and come back to my house and I come to church. That's all I do. I don't have life outside that. And then except now that I found that I need to play football every Friday. So on Friday, if you come here at 4 o'clock, I won't pick the call. I'll be on the football field. But God will be with you. Amen. So if you are calling me 4 o'clock, I will not have time. I told my wife, I said, don't call me between 4 and 7. Anything you want to say, say before 4. Because I cannot be playing ball. Like did you see a video of a Nigerian linesman on the field of play? Did you see that video? It can only happen in Nigeria. I'll play for you next week. The linesman. You know what a linesman is in football? What is he supposed to be doing? He was trying to check. I'll be checking that everybody is okay. And then the guy was on field. Hello? He was carrying the flag. I will show you the video next week. It's amazing. You see the way you're laughing. No, the guy is just multitasking. He's multitasking. See the bright side of life. He can do things. Oh God. Where was I? No, I wasn't alive. I'll move from the lies, but I'll say, yeah, so I don't, so I said that I just go to the office and come back, then I come to church and go, you know, but I'm saying that, and everything I do is within this cycle. So in the office, we'll be discussing, we are talking about being good men at home. Okay, we were trying to get one guy to marry. The guy said, all the money I've made now that I'm not married, when he's going to get married, he's going to start kicked up and keep it somewhere. Because he cannot let one woman come and all the labor that he has done, you come and finish it, so you keep that one somewhere. That the money he makes when he marries her is the one that the two of them... You're laughing. And as God will have it, he was speaking with one of my friends. And that one has spent all his energy telling him that, you know, once you decide, then everything about you. So when I came into the conversation, I told him the same thing. He said, how come the two of you are saying the same thing? I said, because we are telling you the right thing. If you want to hear something otherwise, there are so many people that will tell you, but what you are trying to do is wrong. Amen. That's the kind of, and if the good thing about it is that he sits down and he says, but all his other friends that he sees, all of them have girlfriends. They have wives and then they have girlfriends. So he says he doesn't want to get married. That he doesn't want to get married and have a wife. And then after I will go and have a girlfriend. I said, but you can see that the two of us talking to you, we have a wife. This is my friend. He likes giving birth. Even if the last one is 8 years old, he can decide that he wants another child. You give birth again. He has no problem. He's the same wife. I said, those are the kind of, I told him, those are the kind of examples you should be looking out for. Amen. You have to let your own good character come to bear. But don't spend company. Don't spend too much time in bad company. You will not be able to walk steadfast. It is what the Bible calls drifting. You will drift and you will not know. Hallelujah. But one thing I'm not sure, I sure know, is that darkness cannot overpower light. When light comes, steps in, darkness disappears. But light must understand itself and be sure before it steps into, because it can take out darkness. Hallelujah. So you have to be that strong on the inside to go into certain areas of life and go and make an influence. But as we walk in this year, as we move ahead in this year, please surround yourself with people that will encourage you. The last thing I wanted to talk to you about, Philippians 4, and I think that's verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But you understand one thing I want to point out, is that as I was mentioning, he kept saying, whatever things are true, whatever things are pure. He kept saying whatever, meaning that there will be certain things that are not true. There will be certain things that are not pure. But he says, you filter those things out and meditate on the things that are pure, that are true, that are lovely, that are of good report. Hallelujah. He says, and anything that is praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Amen. Because that's what is going to grow you and keep your stability from the inside out. When you begin to look at the negative things, they are going to make you shake and waver and lose stability. In fact, sometimes you'll not just be able to stand. But when you meditate on the things that are pure and of good report, then your safety is sure in God. Let's rise on our feet this morning. Let us thank him that as we walk, that indeed we listen to our inner man. we had just ended convention, Life in the Spirit. And that's not just not a gathering of believers. It was a strong gathering, Life in the Spirit. As we walk, we're conscious of the leading of the Spirit of God. Because it will lead us to where we get good counsel. And it surely will lead us to where we get the right things for ourselves. Thank Him, because indeed, as we walk with Him this year, we are stable. We do not waver with every wind of doctrine. But we stand firm with the standards of the Scripture, and the words of Christ will be our guide. Lord, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name.